You're listening to a podcast from 702 and Cape Talk.
Clock, let's go straight to Midrand. Harold, good morning to you.
Hi, good morning, Steve. So you fine, my friend?
I'm extremely well. How are you?
Good, thank you very much, man. Your question, will I go to Australia? I mean, you mentioned the word Australia, of course.
Yeah, it's on, just hold on before you respond. It's on the back of the Australian Home Affairs Minister considering fast-tracking visas for white South African farmers.
Yeah, that's what he said. Yeah, and personally, I'm not a farmer, so I can't answer for farmers. Maybe they feel differently than I do.
Yeah.
But I do understand the plight of the farmers. I do get that. And what I don't get in South Africa, or, you know, specifically South Africa, why is this condemnation about farmers? You know, you see this all over the world, all over the world. And I've been to many places in my life. There is only one sort of people that has been so highly regarded as, I could nearly call it priceless, a protection, respect, whatever. It's the farmers all over the world. So actually, South Africa is no exception to the rule. It's just that there is, it's like the firemen in New York. You touch a fireman, you touch New York. They are protected. They are species because of what they do for the community and for the people of New York. And I think, like the military men in the USA, they are respected all over America. Doesn't matter what you do if you're in the army. So in South Africa, regarding the farmers, we're the only country, I think, where we have a portion of the society or a lot of people that just doesn't understand this protection and this special feeling about being a farmer or protection. And I do understand it. Because they are special in many ways. They are the people who run this country in many ways. They are the people who feed us, et cetera, et cetera. Now in Australia, they've seen it. You know, it was what's really disappointing for me about 702. You know, a small, small racial incident you guys will talk about for a week. And I'm not saying it's not right. I'm just saying, but you do. Every day, every single day in our social media, you will find another farmer. You know what's really sad? These so-called farmers or their spouses, i.e. their wives, they are 70, 80 years old in the most brutal, inhumane manner, are being attacked and brutalized. It is absolutely unacceptable. Now, these pictures, what I'm telling you about, which perhaps you don't see them all like we do, they are being sent all over the world. People are seeing this, and they're seeing this, wait, this thing is something wrong. Farmers are being attacked. We understand and accept. Farmers are not the only people that's got crime in this country. We know that. But there is a specific reason, and we don't know the reason. Why are farmers being attacked, which has never happened before in the history of this country? Why now? What is it? I have my own opinion as to why, but, you know, that I could be wrong. It's because of what is being said by certain people in the media that we will take your land and farmers will do this and farmers. They are being attacked all over. I've seen 80-year-old women burnt with hot water. It's not logic, man. It's people. And, you know, Steve, it's just on the line. In most of these farm attacks, nothing is being stolen. They just attack people and leave. So that, my dear friend, is a clear message. That is an assertive attack on a specific group of people, which are the farmers.
Harold, a couple of things. A couple of things. Firstly, crime in South Africa is colorblind. It is also class blind. It is also geography blind. It happens in the rural areas. It happens in the cities. It happens in the suburbs. It happens in the townships. Victims include black people, white people, colored people, Indian people, pink people, blue people. Victims include farmers. Victims also include farm workers. But you know what's interesting? The victims that make us pick up the phone to call into a radio station tell us which victims we empathize with more than others.
But you do. It's a fact. I mean, you yourself, my dear friend, when there's a racial incident, it's food for you. You live on it, and you talk about it for a week. I mean, we all know the Penny Sparrow, I think, whatever, what she said, and you made news of it. And your station spoke about it for weeks and weeks. You never spoke once about a single person that has been brutally murdered in this house for no reason whatsoever.
Firstly,
it's not important for your station. First, for you, my dad, matter. It's not important for you.
Firstly, Harold, that is false.
It's not false.
It is false. I can.
You'll be shocked what you talk about every day. You only talk about race because that's all you want to talk about.
Firstly, Harold, that is false. I can play you back the audio of when we are focused on the plight of farmers on the show. So you are listening selectively. Secondly, you illustrate my point. The very reason why you say things like Penny who, whatever her name was, her name doesn't have to stick in your memory because anti-black racism does not resonate with you as powerfully as the plight of people who look like you.
So why don't white racism apply for the same rule for you then? And that's many of those cases. Many of those cases, you never talk about it because it's not important for you. You only want to talk about white racism on black people. And we're not justifying it. I think you have a good point to talk about it. Then be fair and talk about all racism, not just white on black. Then I say you will get a lot of support and my support because I actually agree with what you're saying, but you've got to be fair and talk about all racism, not being selective. And you, my friend, are the selective one because you have the power to talk on the media on the topic and the subject which you prefer and you make a choice.
Listen, you are clearly loyal to the show and the station. Our advertisers appreciate it. Don't stop your addiction. Secondly, it is not true that people are equally affected by racism. The vast majority of victims of racism. The vast majority of racism victims, Harold, are actually black.
That's nonsense. Absolutely nonsense. You obviously don't read social media too much, my friend. You will be surprised of the manners in which people are being treated. Of course, I'm not treated. That's not a correct terminology.
Harold, on a parting shot, just before we take other callers, very quickly. So, if you had the option to go to Australia as a white South African feeling as you do, would you take it?
I won't, because you see, unfortunately, there's a fair question, maybe, but on the old side, they won't be interested in me. I'm already, going on 61, so, however, my children, no hesitation whatsoever. I have family there, I've been there many times in my life. It is paradise compared to South Africa. Australia reminds me of the 70s in South Africa. Clean, safe, everything. For everybody. Very
okay.
Nice.
Let's leave it there.
And they look after the people there. Thank you.
Thanks for engaging, Harold. Have a good day.
You too, my friend.
Cheers. Tracy in Hearties. Hello, Tracy.
Hi, Eusebius. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you? And what do you make of what Harold said?
I'm a white farmer who's been the victim of a farm attack. And everything Harold said is wrong. I wasn't attacked, and I don't have the stats, but I would say very few farmers are attacked because they are white. Farmers are not at risk to the extent that the white genocide proponents want to make us believe. The statistics they use, for a start, are wrong. They take the total number of attacks in agricultural areas, which could be a farmer on 1 acre who doesn't farm at all, just wants a big garden, and they take all of those numbers and they divide it by the number of commercial farms in the country. So they take a very big number, and they divide it by a very small number, and they exaggerate the statistics. White farmers are not the most vulnerable group in our country, by far. The second point I want to make is I don't think they are attacked because they are white. They are attacked because of the remoteness of where you live, you're more at risk. They are attacked because most farmers have cash and they have guns. They are attacked, sometimes it's an inside job, by poorly treated staff or fired staff. Sometimes that incident, my incident, devolved into racial tension. And I still maintain that is not... I wasn't attacked because I was white. It devolved into racial tension because racial tension exists in this country.
Mm.
It exists on a fundamental, deeply entrenched level, where when we are faced with somebody behaving aggressively towards us and they have a different color, our reaction, I still think, is different to when a person of the same color behaves aggressively towards us.
Mm.
White people have been raised to fear the black stranger. It comes out. It came out in my attack, and it's something I've grappled with for years.
Yes.
I would not move to Australia. I would not move to Australia because I'm not Australian. I'm South African. I don't call myself an African. That's a different thing. But I am South African. I believe in this country. I own land. So these discussions about land reform are personal to me, but I still believe we need land reform. We need land reform for many reasons. Mostly we need it because we're not feeding ourselves. This business of farmers feeding us is untrue. I think the statistic is that 5% of our farms produce 95% of our food. We are underutilizing our land. Black farmers are starting to flourish. There are incredibly successful black farmers out there, and they are as much at risk as white farmers. And it makes me angry when false statistics and false stories are used to foment fear. So many of the photographs that do the rounds are photographs taken from Holland or a text in America. They're not even local pictures, but they're graphic and they're grim, and they make people afraid of something that is not that real.
Tracy, how do you... I want to just ask you this. I mean, obviously, I know what you've grappled with. You have, as a white farmer and as a social justice litigant, as a powerhouse, really, in terms of trying to live your life to the very inclusive constitutional principles that we have adopted. You've been attacked as a white farmer. You've gone to hell and back several times over. You've dealt with trauma. And yet your headspace politically and socially is in a very different place to someone like Harold, who has nostalgia for a time that never exists, who thinks that Australia reminds him of an idyllic South Africa in the 1970s, obviously blissfully unaware of how deeply racist and colonial 1970s South Africa was. What kind of conversations do you have with fellow white people like him, or have you managed to excise them from your life?
At the moment, I'm being doxxed on Twitter. My address is being handed out left, right, and centre on Twitter by white racists. So it's a very personal conversation for me at the moment. I try and have these conversations with people. I find them exhausting to have because they have internalized the lies. They want to believe the lies. The lies confirm their own bias. It's very difficult to talk past that when you have hate groups like AfriForum, Solidaritate, feeding them the lies. I try and have the conversations because I think they're conversations white people should be having. But when it starts becoming nasty, when my family starts getting threatened, I do. I block and I walk away because I would rather surround myself with people who want to make the country work than with people who actually, I sometimes think, want to see it fail. They want to be able to say, you see, we told you so.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And sometimes it just gets absolutely exhausting. Tracy, I want to affirm you.
I can't imagine what black people go through. So,
I want to affirm you. I know how close you engage these issues, despite the emotional and the very personal cost. People are inspired by your call, the chalk and cheese contrast with Harold. They don't know who you are. Actually, you are a superstar. I was just telling my producers quietly on the side here what a brilliant lawyer you are. We have your friend Ben on the show in the middle hour. I know what you've been through, and thank you so much for everything that you do in your personal life to be a brilliant ally in the fight for a more just South Africa. Thank you, Tracy.
Thank you, Eusebius. Bye-bye.
Cheers. Have a beautiful